Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Nine the game. We are your home for the NFL in Atlanta.
And the home for our Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Knocked down, it's gone!
WCGC Atlanta at WCGC HD1. Always live and free on the Odyssey app.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Happy Get Over the Hump Day to you. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my first responders out there protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to all my people in the gym right now, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. I see y'all. Keep grinding. Keep getting them gains, you dig? And also, shout out to my people listening to bed right there. I know you're out there. Shout out to y'all. Go ahead and get up if you got to get up, or I appreciate you tuning in if you're taking your last couple moments that you have in the bed to get your mind right and starting your day off with your boy. All right, we got to start off with the biggest story in sports right now. The latest college football playoff rankings are here, and they're about what we expected them to be. Now, the real surprise isn't what lies in the college football playoff rankings. It is more so about the insight the committee has given us to what will be the cause and effect of Friday and Saturday and this whole entire championship weekend. What will go down if certain things happen? I think the committee has given us an inside look into that now by how they have laid out these latest college football playoff rankings. So let me give you some examples. Let's go over some scenarios, shall we? Okay. So just to quickly start, I'll give you the rundown of the latest college football playoff rankings. Georgia obviously is at number one. Michigan is at number two. Washington is at number three. Florida State, they have moved back up into the college football playoff. They are number four. At number five, we have Oregon. At number six, Ohio State drops to number six after their loss to Michigan last Saturday, of course. At number seven, Texas stays right there. At number eight, Alabama stays put as well. Missouri at number nine. And Louisville is not at number 10 anymore. Let me get you number 10 here. That is Penn State. Louisville is actually at number 14. They dropped to 14. But for our sake, we're really only focused on the top eight because those teams within the top eight, some of those teams within the top eight, actually all those teams within the top eight, do have a shot at making the college football playoffs. So let's go through the easy route to the final college football playoff ranking, shall we? Georgia wins, they're in. Michigan wins, they're in. Washington wins, they're in. Florida State wins, they're in. Easy. Everybody wins in the top four. Everybody stays in the same spot. We're good. That's the easy route. Now, also another easier route, and this could also very much be a scenario. We're not going to get too thick into the weeds yet, but trust me, we'll get there. We still got plenty of time to go in this segment. Georgia wins, obviously they're in. Michigan wins, they're in. Oregon wins, they're in. Florida State wins, they're in. So you would really only have one change. You would just have Washington and Oregon probably swap. Florida State, actually, if they won, they would move up to three. So Oregon move up a spot. Washington goes down two spots, maybe a couple more. Maybe Ohio State moves up in front of them, but I don't think so because Ohio State's not even playing this weekend. So ultimately, Oregon would get in. They'll be number four, one loss, Pac-12 champion. Georgia, Michigan, and Florida State would actually move up one. If they won, they'd be an undefeated ACC champion. So that's another scenario that we could easily see happen, right? Okay. Now let's start to get into the thick of it here a little bit, shall we? What if, and I won't get into the scenario if Georgia loses yet. That's coming. What if Washington and Florida State both lose? Okay, well, we just went over what happens if Washington loses. Oh, let's make this clear. Let's set a precedent, shall we? Let's set a common denominator, whatever you want to call it. Georgia and Alabama, the SEC championship game, that's a win and you're in game for Georgia and Alabama. What do I mean by that? Simple. Whoever wins between Georgia and Alabama is in, right? I think we can all agree on that. Okay, great. Washington and Oregon is also a win and you're in game, meaning whoever wins between Washington and Oregon will have themselves a spot in the college football playoff. Simple, right? I think so. Those are the only two win and you're in championship games to me. Georgia and Alabama and Oregon and Washington. Because to me, if Iowa wins the Big Ten championship, they're not getting in. Even with two losses, they ain't getting in. There's other teams. And again, that's something we'll start to get into when we get into the thick of this here in a couple of minutes. Michigan-Iowa is not a win and you're in game. The scenario is if Michigan wins, they're in. But if Iowa wins, not so fast. Florida State in Louisville is the same way. It's a win and you're in game for Florida State, but not for Louisville. So that's not a win and you're in game. That's if Florida State wins, they're in. If Louisville wins, I'm not so sure they get in. So let's continue our scenarios. What happens if Washington and Florida State both lose? Well, it's a win and you're in game for Washington and Oregon. So Oregon would get in. However, Florida State loses. I believe that opens the door for a one-loss Georgia team. That also opens the door more so for Texas if they win the Big 12 championship. Because right now, like I said, if it goes chalk on Saturday, then Texas will not get in. Even if they win the Big 12 championship and beat number 18 Oklahoma State, I don't think they get in. If Georgia wins, Michigan wins, Washington wins, Florida State wins, that's going to be your four, even if Texas wins because of the Texas's one loss. Okay? Everybody with me so far? So if Washington and Florida State both lose, Oregon gets in, and I think either a one-loss Georgia team or a Big 12 champion Texas team gets in. I would think the committee would probably pick a one-loss Big 12 champion Texas team over a one-loss non-SEC champion Georgia team, but there's a debate there. That's where it gets a little sticky. We're going to get even stickier. What if Michigan, Washington, and Florida State all lose? Michigan and Iowa, that Big Ten championship game like we talked about, that's not, to me, a win-in-your-end game. If Michigan would have won, then yes, they will be in. But with Iowa winning, I'm not sure they're in if they win the Big Ten championship with two losses. So what happens? Okay, that opens the door again for a one-loss Georgia team, a Big 12 champion Texas team. And then you could say that both of those teams possibly get in, because if Washington, Michigan, and Florida State all lose, then you would have probably Alabama be number one, because they would then have the best win and they'd be the SEC champion. So they would move to number one if they beat Georgia in the in this scenario, we just said Michigan, Washington, and Florida State. So we'll stick with that. We'll get to the Georgia loss here in a little bit. But that could open the door again for Texas to get in as Big 12 champion. That could also open the door for possibly Alabama, possibly Ohio State as just a one loss, and their one loss is to a Michigan team. So, man, this thing gets sticky. I don't know if Washington can still get in. Probably not. But obviously, a lot would have to happen there. Okay, let's get back to the scenario that I was starting to touch on. What if all four teams in the top four lose on Saturday? We're just getting in the thick of it. We're getting crazy here to start off. What if all the top four teams right now lose on Friday and Saturday, because Oregon and Washington play on Friday? At that point, Alabama would be number one. You would have, I would have to say Oregon jumps up to probably number two. One loss Pac-12, or maybe even Texas, but probably Oregon, because they're ranked number five right now. And if they win, they'll move it up to two. So it'll be Alabama as a one-loss SEC champion, Oregon as a one-loss Pac-12 champion. At number three, you would probably get Georgia there as a one-loss non-SEC champion. Or actually, you get Texas. Excuse me. If Texas wins, you'll get them at number three as a one-loss Big 12 champion. And then you probably get Georgia as a one-loss non-SEC champion, because you're not putting a one-loss non-Pac-12 champion Washington in there. I don't think you're putting a one-loss non-champion Ohio State in over Georgia. So, to me, the only two scenarios, because I think there are two scenarios that Georgia gets in. The only two scenarios that Georgia gets in, actually the only one scenario actually with the loss Georgia gets in, is if I think all four teams have to lose for Georgia to get in. Now, again, maybe if Florida State just can't lose, because then if Texas wins, I think they're putting in Texas over a one-loss Big 12 champion Texas team over a one-loss non-SEC champion Georgia team. Now, because Washington, Oregon is a win in your end game. If Michigan loses, then you can make that argument. So I think the two scenarios, thinking through it here, is if Florida State loses and if Michigan loses. If both of those teams lose, then I think Georgia definitely gets in. But it will be tough. I mean, the main scenario for Georgia to get in, even if they lose, it would have to be all bedlam. I think either Michigan and Florida State both have to lose, or all four teams have to lose. I think those are the two scenarios for Georgia to get in. Because, again, Florida State loses, I don't think Louisville gets in. But then the debate is, do you put Texas in over Georgia, which I think you do, because they'd be a Big 12 champion? So then Michigan has to lose, because then I don't think Iowa gets in, and then that makes room for Georgia there. And that opens up a spot for them. So it can get crazy. it can get crazy. It could also be very uneventful. We could also see Washington win, Georgia win, Michigan win, and Florida State win, and we see the same four that we're dealing with now. But we'll see exactly how it goes. I think all these games will end up being good. I think Washington-Oregon is going to be a very good game. I think Georgia and Alabama is going to be a game that just goes blow for blow. A lot of defense. Definitely some points scored as well. I think the only game that has a chance to get ugly and could possibly get ugly is Michigan-Iowa. Right now the line's at 23.5. So I don't think there's a chance Michigan loses. I know we were talking through it just for kicks and giggles and for the sake of scenarios, but realistically, I don't think Michigan loses. So, again, Georgia loses. They're probably out, but I don't think they're going to lose. I'm not going to speak that into the air, but it is fun to go over some scenarios. And with the latest college football playoff rankings, I couldn't help myself. I had to go over some crazy scenarios with you all. You can tweet at me some scenarios as well that you think could happen, that we could possibly see on Saturday after the dust is settled and all is said and done. But Florida State losing to Louisville is, I think, a thing that could definitely happen. Oregon beating Washington could definitely happen. Washington has some close calls thus far. But again, if that happens, I think Oregon just takes the spot of Washington. I don't think there's any real movement besides that. So we shall see. All right. When we come back, let's talk some Falcons. Let's start to look ahead to the New York Jets. And is it just going to be a matter of copying and pasting the offensive game plan for Arthur Smith and the Falcons? Are they just going to have to do what they did last week, this week against the Jets? I'll explain why that may just be the case. We'll do it in 5 minutes right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my first responders out there and all my people listening in the bed right now as well. Okay, we need to talk about the Atlanta Falcons because I was looking at some numbers. I was looking at some numbers for the Jets. Obviously, the Falcons coming off their win against the New Orleans Saints, reclaiming first place in the NFC South. And I was thinking about the Jets and, you know, obviously what comes to mind when you first think about the Jets, obviously, is Aaron Rodgers getting injured and them having to go with, Tim Boyle right now at quarterback. But the other thing that comes to mind when I think about the Jets is also their salty defense, as people would say. The Jets do have a really good defense, but I was looking at the numbers and I was actually shocked by what I saw. And I'm going to let you hear from Arthur Smith here in a few minutes. But I first want to tell you that when I was looking at the Jets' defensive numbers. Because, again, going back to what I think about when I think about the Jets, obviously their quarterback woes, Zach Wilson getting benched and all that. But I also think about, like I said, their defense. And last time I checked, the New York Jets had a pretty good front seven, right? I mean, Quinnen Williams, Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley. I mean, they got some dudes when you talk about the Jets front seven. I mean, if you just go through their roster, talk about their defense, obviously they got Sauce Gardner in the backfield, but I'm mainly focusing on the front seven right now. Will McDonald is in there as well. Solomon Thomas, former 49er. Talked about Quinnen Williams. Jermaine Johnson, former Georgia and Florida State guy. I mean, they got dudes in that front seven. But when I was looking at the numbers, they are actually right now 31st when it comes to their run defense. 31st. That's second to last. There's only 32 teams in the league. Now, they're sixth in pass defense. That's no surprise. You got Sauce Gardner. You got Michael Carter. You got some really, really good corners back there. DJ Reed, which I think DJ Reed may or may not be injured. But anyway, they have a really, really solid backfield. So that's understandable. But I thought their defense overall was good. Now, they're 15th in total defense, which is solid, middle of the road, nothing to sneeze at. But I was shocked, really shocked. I said, you know, I had to double check everything. I was like, man, 31st in run defense with guys like, again, Quinnen Williams, C.J. Mosley, Solomon Thomas, Jermaine Johnson, a part of their front seven. Quentin Jefferson, like Will McDonald. They got dudes. But numbers don't lie, and they're 31st in run defense. So that gets me to what I was teasing before we went to break. Do the Atlanta Falcons simply need to like copy and paste what they did on Sunday? And again, it's never that simple. So I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, being a little facetious when I say that. But really, the answer is yes. You stick to your core values, as Arthur Smith talked about yesterday. We heard it. We played you the clip. And you run the ball. And I was hearing Bo and Mike as they're getting ready for the morning shift. It was coming up here in about 35 minutes. And I heard Bo say that Bijan Robinson got 35% of the offensive touches, either pass or running the ball. And look, you ran the ball 41 times on Sunday against the Saints. Now, some of those were just scrambles by Desmond Ridder, which is all fine and well. But still, you ran the ball in some capacity 41 times. A lot of those were straight-up handoffs. And you ran for 228 yards against New Orleans Saints. And that's a solid run defense, too. That's a solid defense overall. So, look, all I'm saying is it wouldn't matter to me if the Jets were fifth in run defense. But with them being 31st, you do what you did last week to me if you're the Atlanta Falcons. I am not changing up a whole lot if I'm Arthur Smith, if I'm Dave Ragone, if I'm this Atlanta Falcons offense. I am going in there with the idea that I am going to hand the ball off to Bijan, hand the ball off to Tyler Algier, and hand the ball off to Cordarrelle Patterson. Whoever's got the hot hand, they'll go until they need a breather. Then we'll get the next guy hot. Then we'll get Tyler Algier, Cordarrelle Patterson, or Bijan, whoever it is. We'll get them hot. Let's just continuously hit them in the mouth with Bijan, with Tyler Algier, with Cordarrelle Patterson. That's what I'm doing. If I'm Arthur Smith, if I'm Dave Ragone, if I'm anybody on that offense, I'm going at them full-fledged with the run game and saying, we're going to run it down your throat until you can stop it. Because, again, the numbers don't lie. 31st, they're giving up I think it was 143 yards per game. I have to look it back up. I'll have the exact number here for you when we get into the next segment. But either way it goes, I'm letting the offensive line continue their momentum. I'm letting them carry their momentum that they got into the Saints game. I'm letting them carry that momentum into this game against the Jets. If I'm Arthur Smith, Falcons head coach, former offensive lineman, I'm going into practice all week saying, all right, we keeping this intensity up. We going to have another physical practice again today. We keeping that same energy for the New York Jets because we need the same result against the New York Jets. Now, it doesn't have to be to the tune of 228 yards because as long as we get the win, I'm cool. But that does seem like that could easily be the case all over again for the Falcons if they wanted to be with a Jets run defense that I didn't know was this suspect, but apparently is suspect, which I can see it being suspect for sure. I mean, they get put in some bad positions. They're going to, if they're, you know, respectfully, that Jets defense is probably on the field more than they should be because, you know, the offense going three and out, you know, more times than you would want an offense to go three and out. So that Jets defense probably on the field way more than you would actually want if you're Robert Saleh. But that's a them problem. And you got to take advantage of that if you're the Falcons this week. So I'm giving the New York Jets a triple dose of that run game with Cordarrelle Patterson, Tyler Allgeier, and Bijan Robinson all game long until they stop it. I'm letting Jake Matthews, Matthew Bergeron, Drew Dahlman, Chris Lindstrom, and Kayla McGarry get at it, get after it, get active all game long, just like they did last week against the Saints. I mean, I was watching one of Baldy's breakdowns. He was bragging on Chris Lindstrom, showing you how he's pancaking Saints back and forth. I need that same energy against the New York Jets. And like I was saying, Falcons head coach Arthur Smith, former offensive lineman, I'm sure he's telling the guys the same thing. Look, y'all had a great game last week. And he's talking to the O-line right now. Y'all had a great game last week. I need y'all to go in there and do the same thing. Just like how Dave Archer said you mauled the New Orleans Saints. I want to hear Dave Archer on Monday, this upcoming Monday, talking to the morning shift, talking about how y'all mauled the New York Jets. Period. So, again, it's not quite as simple as copying and pasting the game plan from the Saints game to the Jets game this Sunday, which, by the way, you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, just like you can hear every single Atlanta Falcons football game, flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons. But you can do a lot of the same things that you did against the Saints, against the Jets. And they are a lot more susceptible to the run game than the Saints were. And with that being the case, for what you did to the Saints, keep it simple, stupid, Arthur Smith. Don't get too cute. Don't overcomplicate it. Again, 31st when it comes to pass a rush defense. Don't get too cute. Hand that ball off to Bijan. Hand that ball off to Tyler. Hand that ball off to Cordarrelle Patterson. And let them eat. It's really, really that simple thus far as the way I'm seeing it on offense. Now on defense, you got to find a way to stop Breece Hall, of course. Garrett Wilson is going to have to be contained because, again, you let those two guys start running wild on you. Any quarterback can find those two guys and Breece Hall obviously running the football. If you let him run all over you, then that opens things up for Tim Boyle and the Jets offense. But offensively, man, I want to see darn near 41 runs again. I want to see a number somewhere in that area. Maybe give or take a few runs. And again, some of those were quarterback scrambles, and I get that. I understand that. But I want to see somewhere in that same area. And again, I'm not going to say they got to run for 228 yards. But can I at least get like 150 against this rush defense? Come on. We should be able to get that done. Not going to say it's easy because it's never easy, but I think the Falcons should be more than capable of having a successful run game against the Jets, just like they had one against the New Orleans Saints. Because again, at their core, we know that Arthur Smith talks about being balanced. We know that he talks about being explosive, hitting deep ball plays. And I get all that. I love it. I want to see it for sure. But if they ain't going to stop the run, what's the old saying? Ain't no need to fix it if it ain't broke. Don't broke if it ain't fix it. I just messed that all the way up. Don't fix it if it ain't broke. You get what I'm saying. So if that running game was working, if that running game's working on Sunday, Coach Smith, don't fix it if it ain't broke. That's all I'm saying. So, again, not a complete copy and paste of what the Falcons did last week against the Saints, but I expect to see a very similar offensive game plan, and I am here for it because that'll mean the Falcons will be running all over the Jets and hopefully running themselves to a second straight victory and getting back to 500 and hopefully keeping their top spot in the NFC South. All right. When we come back, let's switch over from the gridiron to the hardwood. The Atlanta Hawks have been eliminated from the in-season tournament. But is it a good thing that they've been eliminated from the in-season tournament? We'll talk about it in five. Right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy Get Over the Home Day Wednesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy Get Over the Hump Day Wednesday. Moving right along here. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers, my early morning, late night limo drivers out there, my first responders, my early gym goers, my people listening to bed right now. Salute to all of y'all. Appreciate you tuning in. The Atlanta Falcons have lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They lost to the Cavaliers last night. Final score of, I believe it was 128. I'm looking at it right now, to 105. That was the final score. And the Hawks are officially out of the in-season tournament. There was a crazy scenario where if they won yesterday and got a ridiculous amount of help and had some scores and whatnot work out their way. It was a crazy, crazy scenario. I heard Mike Conte talking about it with Andy and Randy yesterday. But the main ingredient, the key ingredient, was the Hawks winning last night for that scenario even to have a possibility of happening, and they didn't win. So the Atlanta Hawks are officially out of the in-season tournament after their 128-105 loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. And just really wasn't a good shooting night for the Hawks. And it wasn't a great shooting night for Cleveland either, but they shot a whole lot better than the Hawks did. Hawks only shot 34.7% from the field, only 29.5% from three. That's how you really get beat if you're the Hawks. And now look, the scoring was nice and spread out. They had seven guys in double figures. All the starters got in double figures. DeAndre Hunter had a nice game. He had 18. Sadiq Bey had 14. Starting, obviously, for Jalen Johnson, who was injured. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with that slight wrist fracture. Clint Capella had 14 and 9. Trey Young, 13 points. Not a great shooting night, though. He only went 3 of 14 from the field, 2 of 8 from three. He did have 10 assists. DeJounte, whose offense has been struggling a little bit here as of late, he had 13 points as well. He was 5 of 14 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. Onyeka Okongwu had a nice game, 13 points, 9 rebounds. Bogey off the bench. Healthy Bogey is so darn good. I mean, you can tell that right now Bogey is just fully healthy, fully confident after that summer he had overseas, and it's just great to see. And I just hope and pray and knock on whatever this table is made out of that Bogey can stay healthy for the entirety of the year, because healthy Bogey is just so good. 18 points, 6 of 16 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3, 6 rebounds for Bogey. So the scoring was spread out. I love it. But you just didn't shoot that well, and you definitely didn't shoot better than the Cavaliers. They shot 53.8% from the field, 36% from 3. So, you know, really not a bad shooting night if you think about it for the Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell torched the Hawks. He went for 40. He dropped a 40 burger on the Hawks' head last night. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists for the Spider. Darius Garland had 19 points, 8 assists. Jared Allen had 11 points, 8 rebounds. Evan Mobley cleaning up the glass. 17 points, 19 rebounds. Hit a 3 as well, 8 of 11 from the field. George Niang had 12 points off the bench, 2 of 6 from 3, 4 of 9 from the field. And Caris LeVert had 10 points off the bench as well. So they had 7 guys in double figures, and all their starters were in double figures as well. So they said, anything you can do, I can do better, as far as last night goes for the Cavs. So just, again, not a great shooting night for the Hawks, but what I mainly want to talk about isn't what really transpired in the game last night. What I want to talk about is are the Hawks being out of the in-season tournament a good thing? Is it a good thing the Hawks are done with the in-season tournament? I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You know, whether it's good or not, maybe it gave them a little more competitive juice, or, you know, maybe they had that extra motivation to win that money. Who knows? But I don't think it's a bad thing, because now they can fully focus on the regular season, fully focus on getting into the top six, hopefully maybe even the top four. Just not the darn play-in again. We've had our fair share of the play-in. We've been in the play-in every single season that it's been around. Yeah, there's been 3 years of the play-in, and we've been in it 3 straight years. We got past Cleveland and Charlotte in year one, and then we beat Miami last year. So I can't remember if it's been 2 or 3 years. But anywho, I've had my fill of the play-in. I'm sure the Hawks players have had their fill of the play-in. I'm sure the rest of you Hawks fans have had your fill of the play-in. I just want to skip. Can we skip? Like how you can skip an ad? Can we skip the play-in this year, please? Can we skip it for the next few years? Like, I get it. I get the play-in. And I don't dislike the play-in, because without the play-in, we wouldn't have been in the playoffs the past 2 years. Actually, we would have made it this past year because we were the 8th seed, so we would have made it. But either way it goes, I don't dislike the play-in at all. I think it's a great idea. And the in-season tournament, jury's still out. But The play-in tournament, I absolutely love. I think that's a great idea. It's like the wild card, and it's like, you know, short wild card series. So I love the idea of the play-in. However, let the other teams have it. Let them have a spin at the play-in. Hog, stop hogging the play-in in the East. Let them other teams get a chance at it. Let them have their fun in the play-in. Let's be in the at least the top six or the top four. So I think now the pressure, if there was any pressure, I'm not sure if there was pressure, but if there was any pressure for the Hawks to perform in the in-season tournament, it's gone. It's done now. They're out. And they can really, again, just focus on getting them, moving themselves up in the standings, putting a couple of good wins together in a row, and making sure they don't have to be in the play-in again this year. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I can't speak to say if it was a good thing or not, because I don't know how, you know, serious or unserious the Hawks were taking it. I don't know if they were, you know, disappointed. I'm sure there's some disappointment. I mean, any type of competitor in there with some type of tournament being involved, I'm sure that as a competitor, you want to be involved. You want to win everything you participate in. And so I'm sure they wanted to win the in-season tournament. But I'm sure, again, they're it's plenty to look forward to for them for this season. So, again, they're out of the in-season tournament. They can focus on the regular season completely and focus on getting back up in the standings and, again, not being in the play-in tournament when it comes March and April. Right now, too, if you're wondering real quick, the Hawks, after that loss last night, sitting 10th, in the East, so right now they would be in the play-in, the last spot in the play-in, but there's obviously so long to go in the season, not even a full quarter way into the season yet, or maybe they're just now getting into a quarter way in the season, but they are 8-9 right now, and they are sitting 10th in the East, and just looking at the next couple of games for the Hawks, they have the Spurs taking on Wemby on the road. They're on a 5-game road trip right now. That should be a winnable game. They got the Bucks on the road. Obviously, that's going to be a tough game. Then you come back home to play the Nets, then head right back on the road to take on the 76ers in Philly. Then you come right back home to take on the Nuggets, and you're back. And then you're back on a little bit of a 3-game road trip with the Raptors for two. You play the Raptors back-to-back at home. That's kind of – I get it, you know, traveling and whatnot. That's the way they're doing things in the NBA now. But anywho, they have some – winnable games coming up, but also some tough games. So, you know, we'll find out a little bit about the Hawks as, you know, you look at the NBA season in chunks, and this is going to be a pretty important chunk for the Hawks because, again, you look at their upcoming schedule and you see that they have, again, Brooklyn, I believe, coming up next. Excuse me, Wemby and the Spurs coming up on Thursday. That game should be a winnable game. But then after that, you don't have any slouches. We know the Bucks are good. The Nets are 9-8. They're not going to just roll over. We know about the 76ers. They're 12-5. The Nuggets, defending world champions. The Raptors always give the Hawks trouble. And then you got the Cavaliers who just beat you. So you got a tough stretch coming up here for the Hawks. So this is going to be important so the Hawks don't find themselves in a hole, because right now you're 8-9. You're about to take on some good teams. You got to make sure you're at least staying around the 500 mark, and obviously they want to put together some wins and, again, start to climb up the ladder of the standings so they're not digging themselves out of a hole come late in the season like they have been these past couple of seasons. So we'll see, and obviously you can hear every single Atlanta Hawks game right here on the Atlanta Hawks Radio Network, flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, when we come back, you know what time it is. We got to talk to the homies. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. See what they got up for a hump day edition of The Morning Shift. And we'll wrap things up on today's edition of The Hometown Take. That's all next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy Get Over the Hump Day Wednesday. Moving right along here. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers, my early morning, late night limo drivers out there, my first responders, my early gym goers, my people listening to bed right now. Salute to all of y'all. Appreciate you tuning in. The Atlanta Falcons have lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They lost to the Cavaliers last night. Final score of, I believe it was 128. I'm looking at it right now, to 105. That was the final score. And the Hawks are officially out of the in-season tournament. There was a crazy scenario where if they won yesterday and got a ridiculous amount of help and had some scores and whatnot work out the way. It was a crazy, crazy scenario. I heard Mike Conti talking about it with Andy and Randy yesterday. But the main ingredient, the key ingredient, was the Hawks winning last night for that scenario even to have a possibility of happening, and they didn't win. So the Atlanta Hawks are officially out of the in-season tournament after their 128-105 loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. And just really wasn't a good shooting night for the Hawks. And it wasn't a great shooting night for Cleveland either, but they shot a whole lot better than the Hawks did. Hawks only shot 34.7% from the field, only 29.5% from three. That's how you really get beat if you're the Hawks. And now look, the scoring was nice and spread out. They had seven guys in double figures. All the starters got in double figures. DeAndre Hunter had a nice game. He had 18. Sadiq Bey had 14. Starting, obviously, for Jalen Johnson, who was injured. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with that slight wrist fracture. Clint Capella had 14 and 9. Trey Young, 13 points. Not a great shooting night, though. He only went 3 of 14 from the field, 2 of 8 from three. He did have 10 assists. DeJounte, whose offense has been struggling a little bit here as of late, he had 13 points as well. He was 5 of 14 from the field, 3 of 7 from three. Onyeka Okongwu had a nice game, 13 points, 9 rebounds. Bogey off the bench. Healthy Bogey is so darn good. I mean, you can tell that right now Bogey is just fully healthy, fully confident after that summer he had overseas, and it's just great to see. And I just hope and pray and knock on whatever this table is made out of that Bogey can stay healthy for the entirety of the year, because healthy Bogey is just so good. 18 points, 6 of 16 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3, 6 rebounds for Bogey. So the scoring was spread out. I love it. But you just didn't shoot that well, and you definitely didn't shoot better than the Cavaliers. They shot 53.8% from the field, 36% from three. So, you know, really not a bad shooting night if you think about it for the Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell torched the Hawks. He went for 40. He dropped a 40 burger on the Hawks' head last night. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists for the Spider. Darius Garland had 19 points, 8 assists. Jared Allen had 11 points, 8 rebounds. Evan Mobley cleaning up the glass. 17 points, 19 rebounds. Hit a 3 as well. 8 of 11 from the field. George Niang had 12 points off the bench. 2 of 6 from 3, 4 of 9 from the field. And Caris LeVert had 10 points off the bench as well. So they had 7 guys in double figures. And all their starters were in double figures as well. So they said, anything you can do, I can do better. As far as last night goes for the Cavs. So, just, again, not a great shooting night for the Hawks, but what I mainly want to talk about isn't what really transpired in the game last night. What I want to talk about is are the Hawks being out of the in-season tournament a good thing? Is it a good thing the Hawks are done with the in-season tournament? I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You know, whether it's good or not, maybe it gave them a little more competitive juice, or, you know, maybe they had that extra motivation to win that money. Who knows? But I don't think it's a bad thing, because now they can fully focus on the regular season, fully focus on getting into the top 6, hopefully maybe even the top 4. Just not the darn play-in again. We've had our fair share of the play-in. We've been in the play-in every single season that it's been around. Yeah, there's been 3 years of the play-in, and we've been in it 3 straight years. We got past Cleveland and Charlotte in year 1, and then we beat Miami last year. So I can't remember if it's been 2 or 3 years. But anywho, I've had my fill of the play-in. I'm sure the Hawks players have had their fill of the play-in. I'm sure the rest of you Hawks fans have had your fill of the play-in. I just want to skip. Can we skip? Like how you can skip an ad. Can we skip the play-in this year, please? Can we skip it for the next few years? Like, I get it. I get the play-in, and I don't dislike the play-in, because without the play-in, we wouldn't have been in the playoffs the past 2 years. Actually, we would have made it this past year because we were the 8th seed, so we would have made it. But either way it goes, I don't dislike the play-in at all. I think it's a great idea. And the in-season tournament, jury's still out. But the play-in tournament, I absolutely love. I think that's a great idea. It's like the wild card. And it's like, you know, short wild card series. So I love the idea of the play-in. However, let the other teams have it. Let them have a spin at the play-in. Hawks, stop hogging the play-in in the East. Let them other teams get a chance at it. Let them have their fun in the play-in. Let's be in the tie, at least the top 6 or the top 4. So I think now the pressure, if there was any pressure, I'm not sure if there was pressure, but if there was any pressure for the Hawks to perform in the in-season tournament, it's gone. It's done now. They're out. And they can really, again, just focus on getting them, moving themselves up in the standings, putting a couple of good wins together in a row, and making sure they don't have to be in the play-in again this year. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I can't speak to say if it was a good thing or not, because I don't know how, you know, serious or unserious the Hawks were taking it. I don't know if they were, you know, disappointed. I'm sure there's some disappointment. I mean, any type of competitor in there with some type of tournament being involved, I'm sure that as a competitor, you want to be involved. You want to win everything you participate in. And so I'm sure they wanted to win the in-season tournament. But I'm sure, again, there is plenty to look forward to for them for this season. So, again, they're out of the in-season tournament. They can focus on the regular season completely and focus on getting back up in the standings and, again, not being in the play-in tournament when it comes March and April. Right now, too, if you're wondering real quick – The Hawks, after that loss last night, sitting 10th in the East. So right now they would be in the play-in, the last spot in the play-in. But there's obviously so long to go in the season. Not even a full quarter way into the season yet. Or maybe they're just now getting into a quarter way in the season. But they are 8-9 right now. And they are sitting 10th in the East. And just looking at the next couple of games for the Hawks, they have the Spurs taking on Wemby on the road. They're on a 5-game road trip right now. That should be a winnable game. They got the Bucks on the road. Obviously, that's going to be a tough game. Then you come back home to play the Nets, then head right back on the road to take on the 76ers in Philly. Then you come right back home to take on the Nuggets, and you're back, and then you're back on a little bit of a 3-game road trip with the Raptors for two. You play the Raptors back-to-back at home. That's kind of, I get it, you know, traveling and whatnot. That's the way they're doing things in the NBA now. But anywho, they have some winnable games coming up, but also some tough games. So, you know, we'll find out a little bit about the Hawks as, you know, you look at the NBA season in chunks, and this is going to be a pretty important chunk for the Hawks because, again, you look at their upcoming schedule and you see that they have, again, Brooklyn, I believe, coming up next. Excuse me, Wemby and the Spurs coming up on Thursday. That game should be a winnable game. But then after that, you don't have any slouches. We know the Bucks are good. The Nets are 9-8. They're not going to just roll over. We know about the 76ers. They're 12-5. The Nuggets, defending world champions. The Raptors always give the Hawks trouble. And then you got the Cavaliers who just beat you. So you got a tough stretch coming up here for the Hawks. So this is going to be important so the Hawks don't find themselves in a hole, because right now you're 8-9. You're about to take on some good teams. You got to make sure you're at least staying around the 500 mark. And obviously they want to put together some wins and, again, start to climb up the ladder of the standings so they're not digging themselves out of a hole come late in the season like they have been these past couple of seasons. So we'll see. And obviously you can hear every single Atlanta Hawks game right here on the Atlanta Hawks Radio Network, flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. All right. When we come back, you know what time it is. We got to talk to the homies. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. See what they got up for a hump day edition of The Morning Shift. And we'll wrap things up on today's edition of The Hometown Take. That's all next right here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.